Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are the Roar.
Hour number two of the program, live on a Tuesday. Facts of Childress, John Hyde, continuing with Facts on Sports. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. We remind you, Pete Bavacqua, his press conference will be later today, so it'll be noon. We'll be able to process that in real time after we get off the air. And then live from Whataburger tomorrow, we will be able to check in with you guys on the commentary for that. So apparently, again, there's a lot of different things that are transpiring with the Notre Dame stuff. They're throwing a hissy fit at the ACC and everybody else. They're using a ton of big buzzwords to kind of articulate how mad they are at the ACC. I don't really know what the ACC did here. Just if you want me to be completely honest, like, I'm not really sure why they would be confused at the league advocating for a full-time member over a part-time member. But again, this is Notre Dame that we're talking about, so there is an entitled attitude that comes with that.
They expected it because it's happened to them, the whole sport, to grovel at their feet and give them everything they want. And when there wasn't 100% unwavering support from the league office, they just can't process it. I mean, it's just a bunch of spoiled, entitled brats in South Bend, Indiana. And, you know, I have not been shy about my feelings about Notre Dame over the years, but I have also kind of turned the corner under this new era with Marcus Freeman and all this, that, and the other. But man, they're just, I can't stand the temper tantrum in which they're throwing. I just can't stand it. It's hard to believe that Florida State has handled their college football playoff snub so much better than Notre Dame has, because at least they took a bunch of bodies down and played a bowl game. Yeah, Texter 9866. Great point here. Spoiled brats with a big thesaurus. That's what Notre Dame is.
Yep.
And I, you know, we'll be paying attention to Pete Bavacqua's nationally televised temper tantrum today, but I just don't expect a ton to come from it.
I don't even know what to make of all this. Texter gets in and says, I almost guarantee you they have a ridiculous offer from another conference that are trying to get out of current agreement and thoughts. I'm going to let the press conference play out, but the people in the know in South Bend seem to think that they're working to get out. It's also not that simple to get out. Like, this is not a simplistic process if they were to get out. I also do believe that ultimately it has to be easier to a certain extent as being an independent in football to sever ties in non-football sports than it is when you account for the revenue and the dollar signs that are accounted for with football as your cash cow and your primary way of bringing in revenue for your institution. So I'm going to let it play out with Bavacqua at noon, but the reporting coming out of South Bend is that they might be looking to get out. So we'll see how everything transpires, and we'll see what Notre Dame's official statement is later today. There's also apparently another Marcus Freeman extension that's in the works, which could be included in the press conference today.
That's what I think is coming from the press conference today, is a Marcus Freeman highest coach in the sport type of a contract. That's what I think comes from it, is Notre Dame's messaging for how they're going to attack football moving forward with some of their scheduling agreements, and I think they're just going to talk glowingly about Marcus Freeman and the work that he's done in the future there. I expect a much, that's what I really expect to come out today, is a contract extension, not as much of a, we're taking our ball and going to the Big Ten or something like that.
Texter 598 says, I think that Notre Dame's trying to get out of the ACC and go to the Big Ten or 12. Agree, but I don't think it's that easy regardless. I don't think it's easy to get out of a league. Texter gets in and says, hey, Facts, can you believe that they have promised Notre Dame a guaranteed spot in the college football playoff if they finish in the top 12? Yeah, I can believe it.
It happened. It happened yesterday. That was part of the making good with Notre Dame after their snub, which is another reason why I cannot stand this temper tantrum. All you have to do, and you laid out the schedule earlier, Faxon, in the last segment. That's an 11-1 schedule if Notre Dame is breathing oxygen.
Yes.
So that's why I cannot stand this temper tantrum, as you already got the rules changed again for your favoritism to make sure that this never happens again. They got the rules changed to make sure this will never happen again. Did we change the rules when Georgia dropped from 1-6? No. Did we change all the rules when Florida State got subbed? No. We went on about our lives. But we're changing the rules in real time to make sure that Notre Dame never gets snubbed again. So that's why they can miss me with all their, no one understands how difficult it is to be Notre Dame nonsense that they're spewing out here.
Texter gets in and says he's mad the ACC Network played Miami and Notre Dame on repeat for like 72 hours straight or whatever. Do you have any thoughts or commentary on that? Like, I don't.
What else are they supposed to play?
Yeah, there's nothing else to play right now.
What else are they going to put on? I mean, it's not like it was a banner year in the ACC for football. Like, there's not a ton that they're going to air. I mean, we've done June and July shows about ACC Network programming. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, the greatest channel in the history of the world. If that's going to be your big take, well, grow up and move on. I don't see that as a realistic gripe for Notre Dame to be this mad at everybody because the ACC Network replayed a game that they didn't win. I mean, did we throw temper tantrums here locally when the ACC Network got great ratings in 23 when Duke beat Clemson at home on Monday night and they replayed that game? No. It's not up to the ACC Network to only put on programming in which Notre Dame wins. It's not their job.
Texter says, can you explain why they continue to give Notre Dame what they want? They have more guarantees than even the SEC. I'm not sure.
Of how much money Notre Dame makes people.
Yeah, their TV deal is like the most valuable in the sport.
They get paid annually what Big Ten and SEC teams do for their own sole contract.
Texter gets in and says, don't forget Notre Dame is also affiliated with the Big Ten in hockey, so why would the ACC even try to fight for them? Good point. And another texter says, the last I checked, Notre Dame isn't in the ACC in football, so I don't know why they're mad about them replaying it on TV. Yeah, it's just, it's something, man. It's something. I don't really understand it. I don't really understand all of the Notre Dame garbage, if you want me to be completely honest with you, but we're going to get answers today, hopefully from Bavakwa at 12, and I hope that they express their intent to exit, if you want me to be honest with you, because I hope we just get a resolution to all this, and I hope the ACC could put this chapter of the league behind them. Again, I don't think you're getting anything from the Notre Dame deal right now if you're the Atlantic Coast Conference. I think you should be looking to get out of this from an ACC perspective as well, because I don't really understand what the benefit is to having association with Notre Dame or having ties with Notre Dame outside of football. They have zero other athletic department, you know, like value outside of their football program, in my opinion.
To me, this is just my opinion. I think the reason the ACC does this is because what are the helmet brands in this league right now? A down Florida State, a down Clemson, and Miami. You need this. It's all about league credibility. Like, as much as we can't stand it, Notre Dame is a good football team and a good football program. Like, the league does need Notre Dame's inclusion because it doesn't make us look better to keep playing Boston College, to keep playing Wake Forest. They had a good year this year, but you know what I mean. Like, it helps everybody when you get to play a prominent brand. And also, look what it does for your local revenue when Notre Dame comes to town. You've seen that here in Clemson. When Notre Dame comes to town, how big of a draw it is. Even though Notre Dame hasn't won a title since the year I was born in 1988, they still draw numbers. As much as we can't stand them, they draw numbers. And so that's where a lot of this comes from. They're one of the largest fan bases in the sport, and it's a national fan base. It's not State U, where it's, you know, you have a large amount of living alumni, but only within your state and border states. No, and Notre Dame's one of those fan bases that you don't need to have ever stepped foot on campus to be a fan of Notre Dame, right? If you're a member of the Catholic Church, there's a strong chance that you're a fan of Notre Dame in some capacity. I think that's a big reason why. is even though they are not what they were the last time they won a title in 1988, they still draw dollar signs. They draw eyeballs, even as annoying as they are.
Texter says, wasn't everybody on the Marcus Freeman train 6 months ago? To be honest with you, I don't think this has anything to do with Marcus Freeman. I think Marcus Freeman's still a really good coach. Marcus Freeman can't control the way that his administration behaves. So, I mean, I get it. He's not everybody's cup of tea. I like Marcus Freeman personally. I think it's infinitely easier to support Notre Dame football under his tutelage than Brian Kelly's, which was just most insufferable coach combined with the most insufferable brand ever. But yeah, I mean, like, Marcus Freeman's still a really good coach. They just won 10 games in a row. They probably should have been in the college football playoff, but that's not what this is about anymore. This is about their athletic director coming out in a public forum and saying that their relationship has been permanently damaged, that they're mystified and confused and appalled by the actions of the league, and now they're calling this press conference about their future mysteriously here on a Tuesday. So, again, I think in an hour and 45 minutes, we're going to have a lot more answers about what the future of Notre Dame football looks like, whether that's an extension for Marcus Freeman, whether that is an intent to exit a conference, whatever it may be. We're going to get some answers here later today at 12 o'clock. So until then, let's put this behind us on the Notre Dame front, because I think we've probably beat the topic into about all we can. I think we're all frustrated with the whole situation. And Texter says, are we right in questioning Jim Phillips' ability to handle this situation with Notre Dame? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when has he handled anything well with the ACC?
He has not been a great commissioner. Don't get me wrong. I very much appreciated and agreed with every bit of his statement that he released yesterday about this situation. But no, he's not exactly a commissioner that strikes a lot of confidence in the situation, because when Notre Dame asked, he caved and gave us Cal and Stanford in this league, because it was Notre Dame who very much had to have Stanford and Cal as a part of this league. So, no, I don't feel great about it. I think he's handled this situation so far well, but his track record doesn't have me glowing with confidence about how this is going to go.
Texter gets in and says, one more question, and it's Tiger Harley that's getting in and asking before we take a quick break. Any chance they come out and take it back? Do they want to play? Or they do want to play?
No, because you've ended the season. You've sent players home.
Yeah.
People have started moving on. It's, you know, I was listening to something yesterday. People were talking about, like, well, why are some of these 5-7 teams, you know, not taking some of these bowl bids? Like, why did it take so long to get App to take one? Because these programs have been operating like their season is over. Even if it is just 2 days that you've been operating like your season is over, it's very difficult to call everybody back to campus to go start back to practice.
Yeah, it is.
Logistically, that would be very difficult for Notre Dame to pull off.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. All right, let's take a quick break. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line remain open. We're going to put the Notre Dame topic behind us, and we're going to shift gears in the upcoming segment, start to preview this Clemson men's basketball game on the horizon at Madison Square Garden against BYU. Quick break.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
Was the day before Christmas, and at the North Pole, the elves were all gleeful, mind, body, and soul. The gifts they were wrapping, the cookies were yummy, with Ingles ingredients to delight every tummy. The joy in the air was as thick as the snow, and Santa was prepping to make Christmas a go. From making to baking, content as you please, when off in the distance they heard a loud sneeze. Santa was sick, and this just wouldn't do, so the elves hopped a sleigh, and to Ingles they flew. OJ and honey and tissues galore, they grabbed every cure as they ran through the store. Christmas was saved, because those elves were amazing. With big thanks to Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem-solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blochaven.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
It's the ideal time of year to visit ACD Sports on 123 and Easley. ACD has a great selection of Clemson items for all ages in their Clemson fan shop, plus spirit wear for Pickens County Schools. ACD does team uniforms, company caps and polos, embroidery and screen printing, and can set your team, business, or group up with a free online store with items using your logo. Find out why you should have ACD Sports on your team. Open weekdays 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5. ACD Sports, Highway 123, Easley, next to Chick-fil-A.
When you've thrown over 4,000 innings like I have, you know joint pain isn't a maybe, it's a guarantee. For you, was it climbing ladders or too much heavy lifting? Hey, we're all in the same boat. But surgery, that was never my answer.
Baseball legend Roger Clemens knows there's a better way. That's QC Kinetics regenerative treatments that help your body heal itself. No scalpels, no fake fixes, just real relief.
What I love about QC Kinetics, these are the most respected medical pros in the country that specialize in non-surgical therapies to get you moving again.
And you don't need to leave your home or office. Meet with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video. Call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics. You should too.
Done!
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
Hey, nice job, Pete. I like those clean lines. Fellas, do we have anyone that can get to Greenport today?
At Corey's Landscaping, the staffing plan is in the weeds.
Anthony, we need that leaf blower over here.
Three more new customer requests just came in.
Who wants to work some overtime?
He needs to dig up quality landscapers and fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Michael from The War and Treaty. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. Only Novo Nordisk makes FDA-approved Ozempic. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit Ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5 milligram, 1 milligram, and 2 milligrams.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
From our Roar family to yours, thanks for being with us all year long.
Hey, buddy. Happy holidays.
I got you something for Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Hour number two, segment number two, Facts and Childress. John Hite here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. We're going to hit a hard right turn in the program, get away from football, and start to break down some college basketball. 654-ROAR if you'd like to check in. It's a big night tonight in Madison Square Garden. Clemson facing off against the nationally ranked BYU Cougars. A chance for a signature quad 1A win on a neutral court up in MSG in New York. And to be honest, man, I'm just excited that Clemson gets to play in Madison Square Garden, John. Like, that's not something I'm taking for granted by any means. BYU checks in as the number 10 team in the country. 7-point favorite is what the Vegas spread is saying. But I think Clemson's got a pretty good chance to compete and potentially win this game. We're going to break this down from every angle possible here in this upcoming segment. But, John, I'll throw things to you first. When you hear BYU basketball in this kind of new regime where they've got more money than they know what to do with, what are the first couple things that come to mind? And what's your impression of this Cougars team?
They're very, very good. AJ Dibansa is already showing through eight games to be one of the top players in the country and someone that Clemson needs to be fully aware of. All the mock drafts of top five pick and lottery, all the set and the other, yeah, he looks to be the part. Very curious about how Clemson size is going to match up. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it before every game until we get a massive play from this man. Nick Davidson, let's go. It's a big night for you here tonight. I think he needs to be a big factor for the Tigers this evening.
Yeah, Davidson's got to play better. That goes without saying. And
he played better.
The second half against Bama was the best half he's had as a Tiger.
Correct. I need that to show up tonight for two halves of basketball. I need him to be the best player on the court for the Tigers tonight.
I do as well. I think that would be awesome for Nick. And when I look at this Clemson team, again, you go back to the Bama game, and I think there's more positives to take away than negatives, right? You had a horrible, horrible first half, and that goes without saying for a litany of reasons. But you really responded well in an admirable fashion in the second half, and I think there's a lot to be said about that. A large part of your success came with Zach Foster running point guard in the second half. I thought that his size and length defensively was also significantly better than what Justin Porter was giving you, who kind of got benched for the last 15 minutes or so of the game. Against BYU, it's going to be a similar challenge on the defensive end because they play very similar stylistic ball to Alabama. It is the NBA-style offense that they want to get out and run. They shoot a ton of threes, and this is a team that's really, really good, if you want me to be honest with you. Like, BYU is a very, very, very good basketball team. They're going to pace. They're going to space. They're going to try and get driving lanes open for their premier players. And everybody gets enamored with AJ Dibansa. And I understand it, right? He's the guy that has lottery pick aspirations, and he's the guy that you know, catches your eye from an athletic profile standpoint. But there are two players on this team that are arguably better than him from a college basketball production standpoint, and Richie Saunders, the 6'5 senior, and Robert Wright III, the 6'1 sophomore guard transfer from Baylor. Saunders, first and foremost, is a 43% three-point shooter. He's 23 of 54 on the season, and he can shoot from legitimately the parking lot. Like, this is a guy that has the Limitless Range badge on Hall of Fame. If you play 2K, you know what I'm talking about. This guy can shoot from wherever on the court. Saunders has to be guarded like he is Klay Thompson. Genuinely. You have to get a hand up on this guy or he will make you pay. He is the most efficient player on this team. He is the most efficient shooter on this team. And he is somebody that can really impact this game for BYU in a litany of ways. Highest box plus minus on the team. Highest offensive rating on the team. Highest true shooting percentage on the team. This guy's really, really good. Robert Wright III, he's kind of the engine and the catalyst for BYU from the guard spot. He's a guy that does a really good job of getting them into their action offensively. He's a guy that is also a very efficient three-point shooter at 42%. 14 of 33 from long range on the season. But what's even more impressive about Wright is his ability to shoot the mid-range, that he's shooting at the most efficient clip on their team, 53% in the mid-range this year so far for Wright, a true three-level scorer that has a really good commanding of this offense. And when you combine those two, and then you throw a lottery pick in there like Dibansa, it's easy to see why this team is really, 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 really good. They have a big three of offensive players that can produce at a high level, and then they also have bigs, whether it's Xavion Statton, the 7-foot freshman that they'll throw in sparingly, or Kaba Kieta, the 6'8 senior that's really, really physical on the interior and leads this team in rebounding, blocking shots, and more. BYU is a really complete basketball team that I believe lives up to that top 10 pedigree. So Clemson, it goes without saying again, John, they play a top 10 team in Bama, in my opinion. This is a very similar stylistic team. I would say the main difference is Filon and Holloway are NBA guards Alabama. This is more of an NBA wing type of thing with Saunders and Dibansta and their ability to impact the game from that level. So it's going to be really interesting to see how everything transpires tonight in the Garden. But the thing that sticks out for BYU for me is just three-point shooting. Like, even a guy like Kennard Davis Jr., who is another one of their starters, he shoots 48% from three. You look at a guy like Dawson Baker, a 6'3 senior that comes off the bench, 47% from three. Everybody that's a guard or a wing on this team for BYU, John, they can shoot the living daylights out of the ball. So Clemson has to be on their P's and Q's defensively, and you have to get high stick hands and closeouts, and you have to rebound as well as another big thing against this BYU team.
That's why I said Davidson is a big factor tonight.
He is.
He's got to be big on the glass. That's one of the things I want to see Clemson do, is be more aggressive on the offensive and defensive glass here in this contest this evening up in Madison Square Garden. I think that's going to be key, is to limit their second chance ability.
Texter gets in and says, is this going to be another winnable game that we come up short? I mean, I hope not.
I hope it's a winnable game that we win. That's what I'm going for.
Same here. Texter gets in, and it's Jed saying Jake Wallin was one time a commit to BYU but ended up at their rival Utah instead. He defended one of their better players, Richie Saunders, well twice last season. Carter Welling is also from Utah, is what Jed says. Yes, so obviously, it goes without saying, there's a lot of ties on Clemson's side. And let's take this in the angle of Clemson. 6-5-4 Roar, if you guys want to get in on the game tonight in the Garden, as Clemson's looking for a quad 1A win on a neutral over a BYU team that is top 10 in the country. I would anticipate RJ Godfrey to come off the bench tonight, to be honest. I know he's been the best player on the team this year. He's coming off of a 19-point performance against Alabama. I think that Clemson is going to try and stack 6'10", 6'10", 6'10", in their front court, meaning Wallin at the three, who is probably going to be tasked with the primary guarding of A.J. Dibansta, the lottery pick type guy for BYU that's unbelievably good. Nick Davidson at the four, with the way that he closed strong in the second half against Alabama and the way that he can really get physical, as John alluded to, or needs to get more physical and help this team out on the glass and help this team out on the interior. And then Carter Welling, because against BYU, I think it's imperative to have a true shot-blocking threat that can get vertical on the court. What BYU is trying to do is very similar to Alabama stylistically, as we kind of outlined previously. They are trying to create rim pressure and then kick the ball around the perimeter and shoot threes. But if they can get looks at the rim, that's obviously ideal, where they'll get Dibansta and they'll get right going downhill. So the reason I think that Welling is going to start over Godfrey tonight is because he has 2 extra inches of height, he has an increased wingspan, and he's a better shot blocker at the rim and does a better job blocking and altering shots. I will say this, it doesn't really matter who starts for Clemson. I really believe that, especially in the front court. We've seen so far this year, RJ's minutes aren't going to be affected whether he starts or comes off the bench. He's going to play 25 to 28 minutes regardless of what his role is. So I will just say a bunch of people might be scratching their head. If the starting lineup is what I anticipate tonight, and that would be Carter Welling in there for RJ Godfrey, people are going to be like, how are you benching RJ off of a 19-point performance? My message would be, it doesn't really matter and calm down, because he's still going to play the same amount of minutes regardless, and RJ's been uber effective in his minutes off the bench in games where he's been deployed off the bench as well. I think that Coach Brownell and his staff just need a bigger front court that has more size and athleticism on the interior, with Welling as that shot-blocking threat to try and slow down BYU's attacking of the rim.
Doesn't some of this also factor in with some of the how quickly that RJ can get into foul trouble?
Yeah.
That you want to keep him on the bench to limit some of that early on?
I think that that's definitely probably the case. And RJ, again, RJ's been so productive this year. I've been so proud of him and his growth. He's done a lot better job of staying out of foul trouble throughout the course of this season. But it goes without saying that the one game that Clemson, I guess they've got 2 losses on their schedule now, but the one game that RJ wasn't productive in was that Georgetown game where he picked up 2 cheap fouls early. And you have to think it's also a part of BYU's game plan, right? To have that identified as something that could be a potential weakness for Clemson. So they're going to try and bait him into foul trouble with shot fakes, pass fakes, and more, going directly into his chest and trying to initiate that contact, because that's something that other teams will have on their scouting report, just to be candid. So, like, I see enough of these scouting reports with men's and women's basketball. You know when somebody's foul prone. That is identified very early in the tape process. That is identified very early in the stat process as well. So if that's something that's been showcased throughout the course of the season, other teams are going to pick on that. A couple more keys to the game as we're continuing to talk Clemson and BYU basketball here on the program. Clemson shot 4 of 19 from 3 against Alabama. We've talked throughout the course of the season that shooting has been a little bit of a struggle for this team throughout the course of the year. 32.8% from long range, which is good for 197th in the country. That's not good enough with the way that this team is capable of shooting the basketball. And if you are going to go with Carter Welling instead of RJ Godfrey, you need to knock down shots and you need to knock down threes, because that means all five players that are anticipated to be in the starting lineup, Dylan Hunter, Justin Porter, Jake Wallin, Nick Davidson, Carter Welling, are three-point threats and are three-point viable. Unfortunately for the Tigers throughout the course of the season, that hasn't necessarily shown up in the box score thus far. Nick Davidson, I think, is the primary example of that, as a guy that is 3 for 13 from 3 to the tune of 23.1%. But, John, you go back last year and you look at Nevada, Davidson took 124 three-pointers, and he made 37% of them. So, again, this was like a pick-and-pop aficionado last year that was really a focal point of Nevada's offense, to run that offense through him and to get him on the perimeter to shoot jump shots. And for whatever reason thus far this year, he just hasn't been knocking down the three ball at a high rate. The same can be said for a guy like Justin Porter, who has the most amount of threes attempted on this team by a country mile. 17 of 51 to the tune of 33.3%, and then from two-point range, he is 11 of 30 to the tune of 36.7%. You need the Justin Porter that showed up in the Charleston Classic if you want to win this game tonight. You need him to have double-digit points. You need to, for him to be efficient with his shot-making ability. That's a guy that has to play better. And then you look down the list and you look at some of these other players for the Tigers that are in the rotation and the way that they're shooting the ball. Love Zach Foster. He needs to start making some more shots. 12 of 38 from long range, yep, to the tune of 31.6%. He has to shoot the ball better from long range.
The dunks are cool. The dunks are great. They're fantastic. They get the people going. I need more efficient basketball from Zach Foster.
He needs to make more shots. He needs to make more shots, and it's as simple as that. And then Ace Buckner is 3 of 24 from long range on the season, which is 12.5%. You might just have to have a conversation at this point with him about what shot selection looks like. Like, I don't mind him shooting if he's wide open, but I don't need Ace Buckner taking threes off the dribble early in the shot clock like he has at times this season. Like, that's objectively right now a horrible shot, just based off of what the stats would indicate. So I think this game's there for the taking. Like Dexter says, what are your thoughts on Clemson's chances in this game versus against a team like Alabama? I think Alabama's better than BYU. You're on a neutral versus a true road game. I think that would be in your advantage. The metrics seem to think that this is a more fair matchup. I think that Clemson has a really good chance to win this game. But again, you have to shoot better than 4 of 19 from 3. You need to keep your post players out of foul trouble. And then your highest paid and best players need to play like your highest paid and best players. And I think that starts with Nick Davidson. You need Nevada Nick tonight. And I think you started to see that throughout the course of the second half against a team like Alabama. But you need to strike consistency with Nick Davidson and get him some confidence going in this game if you want to come away victorious against a team the caliber of BYU. And that starts on both ends of the floor for the Tigers. So 654 Roar, if you have any more questions about basketball, we'll wrap back to this at some point throughout the course of the program. But John, the last thing I would say on this is, if you dig yourself in a hole again, you're going to lose again. And it's as simple as that. Because while the comeback was triumphant and while it was inspiring, I think you lost that game because your legs gave out down the stretch. You made one of your last 9 shots. You missed your last 7 shots from the field. RJ missed 2 free throws towards the end. Zach missed a layup. I think a lot of that was those guys had to play the whole second half and empty the tank to get back into the game. An easy way to combat that is to not go down 15 at halftime and to not go down 15 at all. Stay within 7-8. Tread water. You're going to be behind at one point in this game. It is what it is. BYU is better than you. It just, objectively speaking, it's the reality of the situation. But that does not mean that you can't win the game. You just can't dig yourself a hole again and then have to expend this immense amount of energy to get back into it to fade down the stretch. You need the ability to close strong in this one, and you can't afford to be in a massive hole if you want to close strong.
No, absolutely. You have to come out hot. This cannot be a game where you were just enamored with playing in Madison Square Garden until the first TV timeout. Like, you need to come out dialed in, and don't put yourself in a hole that you have to climb out of, because against athletes like you're going up against BYU, that will not go over well. I hope that the walkthrough that they had yesterday at the airplane hangar in Maryland, helps everybody out.
For sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Much more to talk about throughout the course of today. We still have to do some game breakdowns from the conference championship games, John. We haven't even talked SEC championship any elements of those games.
We haven't talked about the fact that the Indiana Hoosiers are 13-0 and number one in the country, unanimously number one in the country.
Yep.
And won the Big Ten championship.
We haven't talked about the chaos on the stretch in that one, the shanked kick. We haven't talked about the Mendoza dagger. We haven't talked about South Carolina hiring a new offensive coordinator. We haven't talked about Penn State hiring a new head coach. A lot going on in the world of sports. We'll hit the hard right turn once again and go to college football on the other side. 654-ROAR if you want to get in on college football.
Winter weather is upon us, so if you're planning a ski trip, a mountain getaway, or just want to be prepared for what Mother Nature might throw at us, make sure your vehicle is ready. With a trip to the Pendleton Tire Company.
Be ready to play in the snow like me and my daddy on a new set of tires for Pendleton Tire Company.
Go see Zach and the team at Pendleton Tire and be ready for winter fun. Call them at 864-646-3694 or visit online at PendletonTire.com.
Looking for a smart, cost-saving upgrade for winter? Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer, has a limited supply of select heat pumps that can qualify for federal tax credits and electric provider rebates, saving you thousands. These heat pump systems offer dependable performance with exceptional efficiency, advanced features, and innovative design. Act fast. Inventory is limited. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air or visit BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions.
Do you want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries and help people get back in the game. And best of all, they've been recognized as one of the country's best workplaces in manufacturing and production for 9 years. If you're looking to make a difference, learn new skills, and be part of an award-winning culture, check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam insulation, the most premium insulation option to insulate your home while also sealing any air leaks. Spray foaming the roof deck of your attic can also get you the opportunity to turn your attic into usable space and is the ultimate pest control solution. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Call Koala Insulation today, 864-867-1779.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Here at ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere, or we'll both lose money. Come by the store located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville today.
Injured at work? You don't have to face it alone. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we fight to get you the workers' compensation you deserve. Medical bills, lost wages, and stress. Let us take that burden off your shoulders. With years of experience and real results, Smith Jordan Law is here for you. Call us today at Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Smith Jordan Law, protecting injured workers every step of the way. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Planning a birthday, graduation, or team celebration? Host your party at Mellow Mushroom Clemson. Handcrafted pizzas, wings, burgers, and 26 rotating local and craft beer taps, plus gluten-free and vegan options. Join us for weekday happy hours and trivia Thursday nights at 7. It's always a party here. Call ahead or order online. Delivery available at mellowmushroom.com. Visit 1007 Tiger Boulevard, and we'll bring the flavor. Mellow Mushroom Clemson. Pizza, beer, and vibes that make every event unforgettable.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed, and the most five-star reviews in our industry, our guarantee stands strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number two with Faxon Childress and John Hight right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Texter gets in and says, got to give you your flowers on your Wake preseason prediction. You won me $0 because I thought you were insane. Yeah, Blind Squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. But it was a good season for Jake Dickert. I think if literally anything else would have happened with the Tony E. Chronicles, with him making the ACC Championship game, like in any other ordinary year, Dickert would have been the ACC Coach of the Year, but he wasn't, and Tony E. deserved it. I thought that was the right decision as well. So shout out to Tony E. And I anticipated Duke to win the game and the ACC Championship, and we'll get to that, John, as a part of our preview as well. But man, like, oh my gosh, we were so close to having Tony Elliott coaching the college football playoff. And I entered the game like kind of as a neutral. Like, I wanted my pick to win in the pick'em. I really like Darian Mensah. But the more we got into the game, the more I was finding it difficult to root for Duke, in all honesty. And it was just like, please get Tony to the playoffs. So let's actually just start there. Let's get this out of the way. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. Game recaps, because we didn't get a chance to do it yesterday with all the playoff drama for the conference championship weekend. Duke 27, Virginia 20. We were kind of on our own in this one in the contest, John, and our logic of what better way to end the ACC season than with this massive wrench being thrown in the plans of Virginia? Would it be for Duke to pull the upset when nobody sees it coming? And lo and behold, in overtime, Duke 27, Virginia 20. First and foremost, Duke blew this. Like, Duke completely unraveled down the stretch in regulation. They outplayed Virginia and, like, borderline dominated Virginia for a large portion of this game. And then Virginia comes storming back with this unbelievable comeback in regulation. My question for you, okay? Did Tony E. make the right call to not go for two at the end of regulation? A lot of people I saw online were like, you make this comeback, 10-point comeback in 4 minutes, whatever it was. You should have gone for two with 22 seconds on the clock after scoring the touchdown. I didn't disagree with Tony's decision to go to overtime, in all honesty, because Virginia on paper is the better team. You beat this team in their place a couple weeks ago. I thought it was the right call to kick the extra point with the momentum of the game.
I think more times than not, I would agree with you. But in this spot where you had to rally, like you said, with 10 points in 4 minutes or so, I would have just gone for the end there.
You would have just gone for the kill?
I would have. Just the way that game flowed, I think in theory, you are correct. As the better team, you draw this thing out because you think that you can withstand it over the course of overtime and come away with it. But in a game where you weren't the better team that night, Duke was better than you for the majority of this game.
That's true.
I think at that point, you were the betting favorite doesn't matter at that point in time. Like, yeah, you were the favorite going into this. Duke has outplayed you for 3.5 quarters. I would have gone for the win there and lived with the results. But, you know, obviously hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, and Texter gets in and says something that I do think is valid. It shouldn't have been a TD. Dude ran out of bounds for 10 yards. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did not agree with that call that he was quote-unquote pushed out of bounds. there was some pretty marginal contact, but I mean, it's ACC officials. You get what you get, and it just kind of is what it is. And I also wholeheartedly agree with the texter that just got in. The bad call was not taking the field goal in the previous possession. Bingo. The turnover on downs at the beginning of the fourth quarter, where I want to say, let me check this right here on the play-by-play. It's fourth and five with 14:24 left in the game at the Duke 25. Tony E. gambled. They went for it instead of taking the points, and it ended up biting them in the butt. And that was the unfortunate reality for Virginia. I agree. The beginning of the fourth quarter decision to not take the points ended up costing them. And as Don Munson would say, Don Munson and I have fallen into a little routine, John, where every time we see a coach not take the points, we just text each other, take the points. And Don texted me in that moment, Tony, take the points. Tony should have taken the points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and I think Virginia would have come out victorious in this one. But a really good game that went down to the wire regardless. Let me know on the text line if you would have gone for two or if you would have taken the extra point, because I think I'm in the minority by saying they would have kicked the extra point, and maybe I'm just being too soft. I'm usually like the aggressive guy that's like, go for it. Keep the offense on the field. Go for two. Were you surprised that there wasn't a lot of hesitation? Or at least like a decision or a timeout called from Tony E. and the Hoos, because he immediately was holding up the one finger. They showed him immediately, and they got that kicking unit on the field in a hurry. It felt like it was like a no-brainer for them to kick it. I thought that would have been like a big-time decision in that moment.
That decision was made before the drive started.
You think so?
Yeah, that was something that he had already talked to his staff when they were on defense. Hey, if we get the ball, we go down here and score, what are we going to do? I don't think that was thought of in real time. I think they already knew what they were going to do.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says the stupidest call was the trick play in overtime. Yeah. Obviously, so Duke runs the ball all the way down to the one. It's fourth down in goal on the UVA one. Mensa scrambles to extend the play, throws back across his body. He's got a tight end wide open in the end zone. Tight end grabs it. Duke takes a 7-point lead. First play from scrimmage. First play from scrimmage. Double pass, trick play, throwing it back across the field. What are we doing? And here's the thing for me, John. Just run the ball. You ran the ball on Duke the whole second half. That first drive where you marched down the field in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter and got the touchdown drive, you were running the ball. Like, I thought Virginia should have just ran the ball in OT. I thought Virginia should have just ran the ball. They were running the ball with more and more success as the game progressed. The same to be said for Duke, right? That's kind of how these things work. Your D-line's wearing down. If your defense is on the field a lot, they're going to be worn down. Duke's defense had just given up an entire three-minute drive going down the field, whatever it was, to get to overtime. They did not get a ton of time on the bench in OT. I would have just ran the ball with Jamari Taylor, who ran for like 200 yards on this team 3 weeks ago. What are we doing with the trick play? I hated that. I hated that call. I hated it.
Yeah, Texter 3879. Tricks are for kids. Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason to do it, especially when you had the momentum to get to overtime.
I really wanted to watch Virginia play in the playoff, to be honest with you. I thought seeing them on that stage to get the storyline of the tragedy and the triumph and the conference championship, and it's not anything to take away from what they've accomplished this season, right? Regular season champ, get to the ACC championship game. That does mean something, and that will be remembered as a historic season for Virginia. But the pulling of the rug emotionally, from the standpoint of you pull off a 10-point comeback in 4 minutes to get it to OT, just to throw a pick on the first play of overtime from scrimmage on your offensive side, that was really disappointing to me to see from Virginia. And then obviously it goes without saying, Duke is your ACC champion. Darian Mensa was the ACC championship game MVP. And the Blue Devils at 8-5 encapsulate what was a disastrous season for the Atlantic Coast Conference in 2025 in about the most on-brand way possible, John. That it could not have gotten more on-brand for the ACC in 2025 than a Duke conference title.
That's why I picked Duke.
Yep.
That's why I picked Duke. Because in a year that has not been good for this league, it was the perfect cherry on top to have a 7-5 team win the conference title game.
Yeah, you do not need trick plays, man. You do not need trick plays. Texter gets in and says, Mensa is a freaking dog. Yeah. I mean, that dude's really good. It's going to be interesting to see if he declares this year or if he comes back for another year. He signed a 2-year NIL deal. It was like, I think it's $3.5 million this year, $4.75 million next year. So again, he can either like opt in, I guess is how that works. He's getting more NFL draft steam right now than he has been, and he's being projected towards the back end of round one with a little bit of upside, or he could hit the portal and go try and get paid again. I think he's going to stay, right?
I think he stays. The only way, if I was his representation, that I would not tell him to get in the portal. No, you have a sweet deal. You're going to make more than just about anybody, depending on what stupid contract Miami tosses out there. You'll be the highest paid quarterback in the sport. There's no reason for him to hit the portal. Draft, I would wait to see who else declares.
Yeah.
Because if you get a lot of declarations, it's kind of like we talked about with some schools wanting to get into the coaching carousel. If there's a lot of names, I'd go back. If you have a lot of guys returning to college, I would maybe entertain going pro.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, because you're in a position, if you're Mensa, where you could be a round two or back end of round one guy this year, or you could stay, play a weak ACC again next year, put another great year on tape, and then we're having the conversation of, like, is this guy the number one pick if he replicates his production, which could be a generational bag in comparison to what it would be as a second-round quarterback. And also, he's getting a large sum of cash to play football next year, wherever that is, whether it's Duke or elsewhere. So I think if I were Darian Mensah, I would stay. You guys know that I was talking about him in the preseason as one of my favorite players in the country. I think you see why. The kid's a dog. But to John's point, you risk being lost in the shuffle this year, where I think this year's QB class has more name brand recognition than next year's QB class. Whereas if you come back, everybody in the country is going to have their eyes on you going into the season and say, okay, this kid was really good at Tulane as a redshirt freshman. He was the best quarterback in the ACC as a redshirt sophomore. And now he's got all the eyes on him as the potential number one draft pick or a high first round draft pick headed into 2027. I think if I were Darian Mensah, I would take my $4.5 million and I would stay put at Duke. And bank on the fact that the administration is going to build a little bit better of a defense for me next year, because Duke's offense was top 20 in the country in EPA per play. Their defense, John, bottom 10. Manny Diaz is supposed to be a defensive head coach. I get that they're probably at a little bit of a talent deficiency and they blew a big bag on their quarterback, but like, come on, bro. You're in the playoffs if you just beat UConn/Tulane. Seriously. And their defense hemorrhaged in both of those games. They also give up 45 to Illinois. Like, you're having a much different conversation if Duke can just keep a couple teams at like 30 instead of 40 throughout the course of this season. So a really weird year of ACC football, capped off with a cherry on top, and that is for sure.
We have several texts getting in. I'll just read one of them. Clemson should throw a bag at Mensah. Don't know if we have a bag of that caliber to throw. I'm not trying to throw $5 million at one player in this portal cycle.
Yeah.
With the amount of needs that Clemson has across the board. No. For me personally, no. That's too much.
Texter, we have a ton.
Too much.
Yeah, no, that's, I will say as well.
I also don't think he's going to be available for anybody to have.
I was going to say.
Except for 32 NFL franchises.
Like, I think Duke is going to back up the Brinks truck to make sure.
They already have.
Yeah.
You already say he's getting 4.75. Like, what did Carson Beck make? 3.5 this year? Like, and he has the highest paid quarterback in the sport? No. And the only way he's not going to be the highest paid quarterback in the sport at Duke next year is if Dylan Raiola gets $14 million at Miami or some stupid, ridiculous number like that. Like, the only team that's really going to outbid you for a player will be, like, Miami. Okay, then let them go do it.
If you think Duke is letting the quarterback that just threw, by the way, his total stats, including ACC championship game, 19 TDs, one pick in ACC play for Darian Mensah. If you think Duke is letting the quarterback that won ACC Championship Game MVP and won them their first ACC outright title since 1962 walk out the door, I don't know if you know what the financial landscape looks like up there in Durham, because let me tell you, a lot of doctors have graduated from Duke, a lot of lawyers have graduated from Duke, a lot of intelligent and wealthy people have graduated from Duke, and John, everybody that I know that's in the know up there in Durham thinks that this is a program that's on the rise in the ascension because of the dollar signs involved and the alumni and donor base that can back up the Brinks truck to fund this program. People are talking about Manny Diaz taking a bigger job. Manny Diaz is content where he's at because he's going to get bankrolled a really good roster and a weak ACC for the foreseeable future, and that funding is going to continue to increase at Duke, is my understanding. So I think that they are literally going to do everything possible to keep Mensah in the building. Would I kill for that kid in Death Valley next year and wear an orange? Duh. Have you seen him play? He walked down and put up 46 on the Tigers. Like, he's incredible. We all know that. But I don't think there's any reality in which Duke lets him get out the door, regardless of what the dollar sign is next year, John. I agree with you wholeheartedly. They can't let that kid get out the door. They just can't do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Texter gets in and says, Darian Mensah can enter the portal and join a better team or get the same or more money. The situation is the opposite from Nico from last year. I disagree. I think there's more money at Duke than you realize. I do think he could get a better team. But again, when in the ACC, there's loyalty that's involved there. Quick break here. Hour number three up next. We'll talk more portal after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
This too.